You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And now, from the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. I said it, and I'll say it again. From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's the Around the NFL Podcast. Maron! My name's Dan Hansis, and I am in a room. A very fancy boy room filled with some heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. We did it. We made it. What's up, guys?
We made it back to like the 1990s. I'm fired up listening to that. Seeing like Dan pump his fist. He looked like one of the guys in the crowd at a Bulls game. Like after a big Scottie Pippen dunk and they just panned to some like white guy right in the front row. Yeah, way to go!
It's like, this makes me forget all the bad stuff at home.
What a room this
Midwest
is.
Midwest guy.
This, I wish we could share this visually. I mean, this is a stunning studio with an incredible name.
I would hope
name.
So. There's 400 cameras in here.
Well, you know, at some point, but...
And a cameraman right now.
We've got
it.
We've got
be able to share it visually.
An NFL-mandated photographer in here taking photos of us.
It's the first ever podcast in the Chris Wessling Podcast.
This is it. And, you know, we've done a couple shows. We did the Pridecast. We did the, of course, last week, we did the Thursday Night Football recap. And we will never speak of that again from Wessling Manor.
One of our best shows.
But this is our first proper podcast together since last March. Straight up. Still remember it to this day. We did a show together. It was a Friday afternoon. Colleen was with us. I believe Wes was with us. We, after the show ended, went over to Rocco's in Culver City, which is in a different part of the city from where we are now. And we had drinks and we had food and we had good times. We had some laughs. And then Tom Hanks got sick and it all changed. And that was it. We were never together again in the studio. And I will say this. First of all, a couple things. Thank you to everybody behind the glass. Erica's back there, of course, but we have an entire team of people that have worked tirelessly to get this place up and running because it is a gargantuan effort. We are in a big building right next to SoFi Stadium that is now the headquarters of NFL Media, the network side, the newsroom, and it's been a ton of work to get us in these chairs and talking into these microphones. So we have the easy job doing the podcast. So thank you to everyone else. My other thought, Greg, is
that's a big time like on-air move, like hey what we do up here, that's easy. The real hero, like, it's like you know, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz making $20 million a year. Hey, the real heroes, the guys with the tough job, are making like $75,000 because it's a union job.
I mean, this job is tough enough for my liking. I don't need it to become more difficult. Thank you.
There's a lot of people back there, too. It's a little intimidating.
But my other point is, yes, this. Hey, we're just the kids on the playground over here. My other point is that, yes, from now and until the end of the show, the fact that I'll introduce you boys, introduce myself, but also be introducing Chris Wessling's name into the conversation every time we start a show here. That is an awesome thing. And also shout out to everyone, Matt Schneider and Jason Kleinman, and everyone behind the scenes for getting the studio named with an awesome Chris Wessling signage right out front, which I'm sure you've seen on social media. But we're set up well here, Greg, and it is great to have Wes with us, even if it isn't physically.
Yeah, it feels right that Keisha came down. She's working right down the hall. It is going to take some getting used to being back in the office. We saw a lot of familiar faces in the hour before the show, but LaKeisha came over from her editing bay. We took some pictures.
That's
had
right.
Some hugs. It feels right.
I visited my cubicle.
Right.
You know, I had varying feelings about even being attached to a cubicle on any level, but I would say about this whole building, and I was telling one of our producer types out there, that this is sort of like a gigantic evil spaceship that has been inhabited by nice people, and it's been turned into sort of a nice spaceship. The building itself looks like it's from about 800 years from now.
But if it's by its nature an evil spaceship, can you truly trust the people? Even
well, we took over.
I've watched enough Twilight Zone episodes.
We took over the technology, and we rid it of the. It's most of the people here seem friendly.
I did think about you this morning, Mark, because I know this is not an easy thing for you to be back here, and it made me think of. I was just thinking of you going through the motions this morning, of you know, you woke up and it's like, got to get in the shower, I got to make my smoothie, and then I was thinking, I was setting this in my mind to. You know, in Uncut Gems, the Sandler movie, the score to that movie, where it's just like this kind of like weird, almost like a menacing tone underneath everything. It's like Mark's making a smoothie. Simone's talking to him, but it's just like, in Mark's head, it's like, wah, 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 wah. And then he gets dressed and he's like, which suit jacket should I put on? I guess the blue one. It's just like three of the same thing. Then you get in the car and you punch into your Waze.
It's not wrong.
And you're just like stone faced. Is this happening? Is this happening? Is this happening? Pull into the lot. Go through the gate. Up the parking garage. This is happening. This is really happening. Does this check out?
It does. I'll quickly add a couple.
Like, should I throw in a couple more tweets about how I don't want to go back to work?
No. I've tried
746.
I've attempted to adjust my attitude on the whole thing. For the first time in a billion years, drove to work, obviously, and got on, you know, I know the 405 essentially how it works. It goes north, it goes south. I got on the wrong part of the 405, added like 18 minutes to the trip,
ouch.
Nearly crashed into what I guess it's called like a tractor trailer of some sorts. Then when I pulled into this building, I went into the completely wrong place and a very stern woman told me I needed to go somewhere else. Then I parked and Erica had to come meet me in the garage. I was like a small child or a boy. She took me through all the steps to get into the building.
What
so
do you
I appreciate
think, Ricky?
That,
is you think Mark's going to be okay here?
Yeah, I mean, the morning started off around 8 a.m. with texts with crying emojis. And Mark put his hand down because he knows.
Week two.
Yeah. And I met him in the garage and we walked through and I walked him directly to his desk, which is the first desk you see from the glass.
Well, they punked me on that. That was it's a fishbowl scenario.
By the way,
scenario.
Explaining what I did with Harrison on his first day of preschool too.
Exactly.
Right. No difference.
Didn't happen with Dan and I. Like we figured out how to
I
get
took him and
video.
I tried to get him to eat breakfast. He was too nervous. He wouldn't eat breakfast. Then
adorable.
I dropped him off. I got him his badge. Dropped him off at his desk. And then also, you know, you guys are sitting in different orders this time, which is very different. And so, you know, Greg and Dan were outside and Mark had to come, Mark came to me in this, you know, in the producer side of the studio and goes, well, we're not sitting in the same line. And I guess that is really stressful. So I feel like you guys should address it.
We'll take it easy.
Oh, we have. I quickly backed down after Mark made it clear he wanted to be on the edge. I was like, oh, well, I always sat on the edge.
I have sat
That's
on the good. Edge for 10,000 years.
It's fine.
Give me some uncut.
We can change it. Yeah, a little more. I like that feel, though. That was... is this like the Social Network soundtrack, if you know that? The Phantom Thread one. Just a dark sense of anxiety and foreboding, which is what it's like to live as Mark Sessler in the year 2021.
And we have this awesome studio. We'll take it easy on you, Mark. a lot more space. And our old studio in Culver City, they actually did like, it was a closet. It was a broom closet, let's face it. And it was tucked way, way up and out of the way. It was right next to like where the janitor keeps his mops and everything. And we lived in our own world. Now it's a fishbowl. So now you have like
Keisha's outside taking like an IG video right
the whole,
now.
Yeah, we have the whole crew on the glass in
I
front
don't
of us.
Be around anymore.
I don't feel that way. But speaking of LaKeisha, and we're going to get into the week 2 preview in a second.
By the way, if you've never listened to the podcast before, we cover football. We're very full of ourselves.
No,
we talk about ourselves to start each show. But it is a big change after 1,200 in the other.
I think they'll
studio.
Forgive us today. But I told LaKeisha, I was texting with her. I have a great idea. And she was like, what? She said, I'm all yours. And I said, well, you know, we talked about the Chris Wessling dossier being found before it was thrown out in the old office.
Oh, wow.
And we found it, and it was an amazing story, and we don't need to go down that road again. But I said, what if in this new studio, I had this idea. You know how, like, the Declaration of Independence, I guess it's in Philadelphia.
Encased.
Wherever it is.
In a beautiful.
If it's sitting on, like, a black platform and then, like, a bulletproof glass around it with some tasteful lighting down on it. Like, what if it was in the corner of the studio?
Yeah.
And, like, no labeling, no other explanation. And let me tell you something. LaKeisha hated that idea.
Oh.
And they're not all winners.
What?
But I want to tell you that I thought that would be cool. Like, if it looked like something that Nick Cage would try to steal in a movie.
I like that.
I do too.
A little sign on it. That
Why didn't
Bengals
she like
custom.
It? What was wrong with it?
Well, she had she had good reason. She wanted to hold on to it. She wanted Link to see it one day. And she didn't trust that if it was left unattended all the time. But I just want you guys
to... Plus, most of those
imagery.
Articles are absolutely destroying one of our 32 bosses, technically. So that's worth pointing out.
But... It's gonna be returned to LaKeisha after the show. But I liked the.
I mean, we're looking at it right now.
I like
just to let you know, Dan, you pulled it out of a duffel bag. It's beautiful to witness.
I want to just take one rant.
Be careful, Greg.
Total...
Be careful.
Like, if we national treasured this thing, that would have been a cool thing.
I think number one, it's okay that you had a good idea. She has the final say on that.
Exactly.
So that's how that works.
I told her I'm an ideas man. Not all of them are home runs.
You know,
sums are swings and misses. All right. Now,
if you're curious, in 1998, Mike Brown wasn't totally sure if all the TV money that they were generating was a good idea.
Oh, this is a man.
Who wants
an eye on the
forward
future.
Thinking?
All right. So this is week 2 in the NFL. Coming up later tonight, Mark, I got more bad news for you. You and I will be recapping G-Men against the Washington football team.
A premier matchup.
NFC East classic matchup there. So you have a mini pod coming up. This pod, of course, now will be our draft of the week 2 teams, games, and also, of course, a full breakdown of all the games. So, as we do every preview show, we do a draft style. Ricky, did you have any pop culture questions to get us going today?
I did not. I thought we were going to rotate because you got the first pick last week. So I
will be the last pick.
Correct.
Who had second pick?
I had second.
Okay, so
I beat
Mark
Greg
is the first.
In a trivia question.
That means Greg's second. The new old Blue Eyes is third, fourth. Back to Greg, Mark, Snakes to Mark.
Great podcast.
Greg, new old Blue Eyes. Tugboat. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. 3 games each.
Can edit all that out.
Here we go. Just taking it behind the process. Big week of action. Mark, with the first overall pick in the week 2 draft, what game are you giving us?
I am going to go. I think you think I'm going to go Browns-Houston and lock up a game that most people would not even pick out of the gate. No, I'm not. I'm going to go New Orleans at Carolina. Greg, I'm sorry if that... is an affront to you because New Orleans is sort of your pet team. But after what happened last week with both of these clubs inside this division, I find this to be a very spicy showdown. You know that I'm a Matt Rhulite. I'm big on Sean Payton. And I want to see if the Saints number one, because I think that one of the biggest questions coming out of last week's action was the Green Bay-New Orleans contest. Are either one of those teams actually those teams? Or was that something that just happened in a bubble and we're going to find out who they really are? The Saints last week were up 24-3 before Jameis Winston had even thrown for 100 yards. They ran the ball 39 times. They had two 15-yard drives in the second quarter. They were 4-for-4 in the red zone. They didn't turn the ball over. If I told you all that and switched the name from Winston to Rodgers, you would have no problem thinking that was Aaron Rodgers versus the Saints, a team that were being counted out. They're banged up. They're injured. They've got some injuries on defense. Eric McCoy is out of the mix. But I just trust Sean Payton to essentially coach this team up in a way that no other coach can.
So you got
to
lock it up against his own Matt Rhulite team?
I'm not going down that road, but I also look at Carolina and think, who are they? Because what they did to the Jets with their offensive line, we'll talk about that later. But Carolina, 10 QB hits, 8 pass deflections, a forced fumble on Zach Wilson, a pick. Shaq Thompson was all over the place. There's a lot of young talent on Carolina's defense. I love the way their offense is run by Brady. And I just want to see this showdown. This, to me, is one of the more interesting clashes that are out there in week two.
I'm with you. This Carolina defense, I think they're going to be legit. If you looked at their team, you would think that a defensive coach, was their coach, because they've drafted so much on defense. They're so young. You're right, Shaq Thompson wearing that number 7. He switched to the number 7 like an hour before the game, just to mess with the opponent. Yeah.
They'll change that rule.
I don't
by
like
the way.
That. I don't like
that. Will be
that.
Changed that's before absurd. Next year.
Well, you can't keep changing. It only works week one, I guess. But right. He did. He looked 5 years younger. But it's all these young guys up front. I like Gross Matos. I like Derek Brown. We've talked about Brian Burns, and I'm with you. It's going to be a much tougher test, I think, for New Orleans. That was just like a perfect game. That was everything coming together on a day where I think they felt like it was a playoff game. But you're right. Winston didn't even have over 100 yards until he hit that last throw against Deontay Harris. So I also like it because it's the best running back matchup possible. It's the two best running backs in the league. And Alvin Kamara last week, he's just on another planet. I know Christian McCaffrey is technically probably as good. It's, you could pick one or the other. But there is something about the smoothness and the way that Kamara runs and how good he is on the goal line that, to me, he is on another planet. He is different than any running back I've ever seen.
Well, I disagree, because to say he's on another planet, are you saying from a talent, skill level,
like
production
his
standpoint?
Playing style.
Because
to me,
I think,
is on another. There is something indefinable about the way he moves and plays football that is unlike
I am
any
not
other
arguing that.
Back.
I am not arguing that. But what I will push back on is Christian McCaffrey, and we hadn't really seen him much. We saw him 3 games last year. And by the way, in an injury-wrecked season last year, he played 3 times and was awesome in those 3 games, which is, should have been a heads-up. Hey, this guy gets healthy, he's going to get right back at it. He's like the king. He might not be as smooth and as impressive a specimen in terms of his ability to kind of – I love how Kamara just has that ability to plant his foot and then dart to the end zone from 4 yards out. He does things different, and he's like a beautiful running back. I think the thing with CMC is like when he gets the ball – he will always turn it into a positive play. And I know if you give him even a little bit of space, it's always like most running backs will get 7, he'll get 12. Like, he is that guy. And even in a game where he was like not a breakout superstar performance against the Jets, he still had almost 200 total yards. So
That's like a pedestrian outing for him.
I think he is going to put up numbers that dwarf any other running back in the league this year if he stays healthy. And I guess there's a challenge for Matt Rhule not to overwork McCaffrey, but it's tough because like he's so much better than everyone else on the team. The one other thought I would say with this game is it's very interesting because it was a snowball game for the Saints. It was a Murphy's Law, bury the ball game for the Packers. So you almost lose, like, what do you take out of this game? And I thought with the Panthers, I didn't know what to take out of their defensive performance because the Jets seemed so unprepared and overmatched on offensive line. So I want to see both these teams a week removed from those settings. The Panthers offense scored 3 points in the second half last week, by the way.
Oh, I think the Panthers offense, especially, one reason that CMC is going to get, I think, used a ton is because you're not going to take Sam Darnold and throw the ball 45 times with him until they kind of know what they have.
People are so, looking to praise Sam Darnold and be like, see, I told you he's fine, that it's like they're overreacting to last week's game, which he was okay.
It was a B. It was a B performance.
He was fine. He got rid of the ball quickly, and they actually used the fact that he has a cannon for an arm, which is nice. You know, Adam Gase didn't really do that. But when he has to get to his second read or make, like, any sort of creative play, we'll see. They're so well coached. I am with you on that, Mark, that they are a very well coached team. There are two coaches also who were nice to you at the owners meeting, which is basically the main
It always
test.
Checks out that.
Matt Rhule came up to me out of thin air and said, hi, I'm Coach Rhule. Good to meet you. I said, hi, I'm Mark Sessler. And all he needed to know, you know, we had Matt Schneidman on the show this week, that if you give me any sort of compliment, I'm with you until the end. It you cannot melt it away. I have no integrity on the reporting side.
So. Bradley Roby will play for the Saints here, but they are short in the secondary this week. Paulson Adebo, their rookie, will be playing, but there's no Lattimore. There's no Davenport up front. They have really been hit with injuries pretty hard.
All right, the number two pick goes to Greg.
I mean, I'm so glad you didn't take this. The only real game on the slate that I wanted more than any other was Tony Romo, Jim Nantz, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, 425 Eastern. Are you kidding me? The rest of those afternoon games, not even in the same ballpark. Two of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. And Justin Herbert, I apologize to Justin Herbert because he was my guy last year. He's one of the best rookie quarterbacks of all time. I like just love watching. And I spent the whole offseason like, oh, is Joe Lombardi going to ruin him? Like,
Joe Lombardi.
It's like,
old
no.
Lambo.
No. Like a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes, and I think this is the level that this kid can get to, he is going to overcome whatever the system is. I'm not slamming Joe Lombardi, but he's going to make it look good. And it was a totally different offense last week by the Chargers. He wasn't touched. He got rid of the ball quickly. His arm strength matters because he throws it into zones before the cornerbacks can get there. I loved it because he didn't have to do any crazy plays, but you know he can because we've seen it. So it's almost like more dangerous. It's like a crazy guy acting sane. Like, you know he can go crazy if he needs to, but he doesn't even need to right now.
You know, it's funny because you gave that man plenty of love last year, and Wes also loved him. So you guys like kind of took up all the oxygen in the room for Justin Herbert love, which was fine. But I, as a result, I kind of stepped back. I was like, okay, they're going to be on this Justin Herbert beat. I'm going to focus other places in 2020. This season, when I went into that game, first of all, even though he had the fumble throw thing that went through the end zone and then he threw a pick, so he wasn't perfect, but Justin Herbert is a savage from the pocket. That is, and you'll hear me say that many times this season, Justin Herbert is a savage in the pocket. What he did,
that's gonna
close
be like
out
a,
that
I
game.
Think that's going to be a catchphrase or what?
That's a catchphrase. Put that on a t-shirt or on a poster. Because he is a savage in the pocket. First down completions in the fourth quarter on third down, all four, 17, laser, 19, laser, 20, laser, 9, laser. Game over. Washington football team, not a pushover defense by any stretch. They could not stop the savage.
And on top of it, I mean, they had the most drops in the league last week. It took a while for his wideouts to kind of warm up, I think, with him. And so let's say that doesn't. So that, if that was an aberration, you remove that, they're even more dangerous. And I, you know, this whole thing that, you know, just a couple people like Justin Herbert. I mean, he brought.
No, I'm not trying to claim him, but right.
Oxygen.
There was a lack of oxygen.
Within the first,
that's how the show works.
Within the first 2 or 3 weeks, though, we were saying this. You don't need to wait to see the greatness. I'm just saying
you saw it right away, and I think that Tyrod Taylor is a, by all accounts, a wonderful person. But what would our lives be had that medical technician not processed the faulty
almost
medical
the
shot?
I think it'd be like
medical technician not process the faulty medical.
I think it'd be the same, except he takes over in week 4 instead of week.
There's a sliding door scenario.
It's just
there.
That it's incredible that after what we thought of Justin Herbert, you know, coming out of Hard Knocks, which was in a ridiculous way to judge someone, but he seemed a little punchless and milquetoast on Hard Knocks and a little lost. And then instead, the one thing about him is he is physically tough. When he gets knocked and hit hard, I mean, he just gets right back up. And like, he also seems like a very wholesome individual. Erica sent us a video of him carrying the football from the field into the locker room and ultimately gives it to Brandon Staley, who is the other difference on this team. This isn't the old Chargers
like
team.
Because
I'm going to steal the oxygen on Brandon Staley.
We're now at a studio desk and we're going to start pointing at each other like we're Stephen A.
Well, we've been staring at screens for, 18 months. It is nice.
It is disarming.
You're the Brandon Staley guy. You've had that beat covered. Last year it was Rule.
Beats early.
Last year was Matt Rules. Now it's...
Well, I'm on that beat too.
Staley versus...
How many beats can one man be on?
I'm covering multiple beats.
You might be missing a beat if you're on too many beats.
I can do both.
There are a lot of teams. We got to talk about them all like three times a week.
The Cowboys, by the way... And the Cowboys fans are like, wait a second, when you're previewing a game with America's team, you only talk about America's team. That's how it works. No, we're talking about the other team more this week. But the Cowboys, they are who I thought they were. We talked about it on the power rankings with Matt Money Smith. I think they're going to be awesome on offense. I think they're going to struggle to get stops on defense until they prove otherwise. That's how I see it. I don't put a lot into the turnovers last week, and I think they're going to struggle in this game to stop Justin.
Well, yeah, we're burying the lead on their defense. DeMarcus Lawrence broke his foot at practice this week. Do you want to know how many times the Dallas defense touched Tom Brady last week? Or their defensive line? It was zero. They got one hit on Tom Brady, and it was a safety. Oh. And DeMarcus Lawrence had a great game. He had a vintage game. I was like, okay, if they get vintage DeMarcus Lawrence, I know he didn't get the QB hits, but a ton of pressure, is very active in the run game, is easily their best player on defense. He's now out for 2 months. Randy Gregory, who's their other starting pass rusher, is on the COVID list and is unlikely to play in this game. No Dallas defensive lineman made a play. Meanwhile, you got all this money and draft capital in Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, who combined for 31 snaps last week. I'm fascinated by that situation. The only reason why I give the Cowboys any chance in this game is Dak Prescott with those two receivers, even without Gallup, who's also hurt. That one kind of slipped under the radar. He's on IR. Mm-hmm. They had a really tough injury week. Is one of the only guys who I think could possibly outsmart Brandon Staley, because I think before the snap, Dak Prescott is the guy who is kind of taking over for Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady as like the next guy who is just like winning from the neck up. But otherwise, you don't give him much of a chance at all. And that's why I'm locking up the Chargers.
Oh, look at you.
Ooh, all right.
I thought that was coming. I was wondering where.
I kind of forgot.
There it is. And by the way, we need to clean it up as a group. That was a catastrophe in week one. All of us, not only did we lose our locks, our respective teams are blown out. And then the Wessling brothers, they got involved. They lost too. So, Ricky, we had to take her off the game because she was,
we didn't even talk about that. No, Greg was like, no, she's out. And,
you quit.
I felt bad for your dad.
He was really upset.
Yeah. Upset about your performance last year or that you weren't involved this year?
No, that I wasn't involved.
Do you want to get in?
Those guys are supposed to protect you.
I wasn't aware of this drama. She was just not involved in the locks.
No, I wanted to, and Greg said, no, you quit.
Greg, why?
I don't remember that. I wasn't there for that conversation.
You were on Slack.
It was on Slack.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because she cheated and then she quit.
No, you said I cheated. I never cheated.
You definitely cheated.
When?
Well, that one game.
Yeah. That's part of it. Once you admit to it, that'd be fine.
Not something you should be,
She's out for the year.
But then she quit. She just stopped doing it halfway through.
Who would you have blocked
in week one?
I wanted to do the Rams, but that wasn't
all right,
allowed.
We'll give it to you. You're 1-0.
They were over the limit too.
I think a one game PED suspension. That's all that was. It was just a one game suspension.
Okay, well, give me a loss then for week one.
No, I don't want to do that. If you pick the Rams, we'll give it to you.
I do believe, a woman, to quote the great Omar, played by the late great Michael K. Williams, a woman's got a code. I got to have a code. If you cheat in a game, if you're in a competitive game and you cheat, and then you quit on top of the cheating. The quitting was really the part that got me more.
I mean,
Greg stopped playing.
There's something more beyond this.
Then you take a one-year suspension.
This is dense. I mean, what is happening here? You're allowed back in.
Greg, who typically doesn't care about anything, all of a sudden now he has principles.
Well, he doesn't want to.
What have I ever said about the locks? My problem with it is that if you're going to have a game, it has to have rules. Eventually, we kind of made these
rules. It seems like you're bending over backwards to kick Eric out of the game. Let's just call it like it is.
If you cheat and you quit, you got to respect the game.
Ricky, I got your back. Don't worry.
Thank you.
You're back in.
Be nice to her. She had a tough season.
I don't want to be around anymore.
She had a tough season. Maybe she made some mistakes. But raise your hand if you've never made a mistake.
I've definitely never cheated and then quit in a competitive game.
All right, let's move on. You lock up.
Let's keep talking about that for another 10 to 12 minutes.
All right, I'm up. All right, Daddy Rich is going to roll.
This is the fourth name you've put on yourself during the show. It's very confusing to me.
We got to speed it up here.
All right, here we go. Let's pick up the pace here. I will. I love this AFC East matchup. Buffalo at Miami. Let's go. Let's do it. Love it. Did not get too worked up about the Bills' performance. I was a little bit surprised by the offensive line. No showing there against Pittsburgh. But like the coaching staff, love the roster, obviously. I think they bounce back. And for me, the Dolphins at home here, I'm not taking this game third overall if it's in Buffalo. But the fact that it's the Bills on the road in Miami against the Dolphins team, as you put it well, Greg, last week, they kind of out-Patriots the Patriots. They just find a way to ugly things up and keep things close. The Steelers did it to the Bills in week one. Could the Dolphins do the same thing in week two? And if they do, do we start to get a little nervous about the Bills' offense not being what it was last year, Mark?
I really think that we're looking at a week one scenario where the Steelers are a bad matchup for Buffalo. We talked about that on the Sunday night show. You look at last year's matchup, it was ugly for Buffalo to some degree. They won. But, you know, last week, Allen was 1-for-8 on passes of 20 yards. You know, little things like the flea flicker they attempted that was swatted down by the Steelers. Last year, that play works, and because something electric, it becomes a highlight. He took off on a scramble. He was stripped by TJ Watt. Another mistake. They had two turnovers on downs. It just didn't go well for them. Six holding penalties by the offensive line. I'm with you. John Feliciano was abused last week. If that continues, offensive line problems, I do think you have an issue because that's the kind of thing that can unspool an offense. But last year, in four games against Brian Flores, Josh Allen has a 12-1 touchdown interception ratio.
This has been a beautiful matchup for him.
It's been great. And Stephon Diggs last year lit him up for about 229 yards over two matchups. So I like for Buffalo the environment just because of the history. But I think there's a little bit of pressure for them to get off the schneid after last week. I mean, they just weren't fresh.
I think it's the biggest week two game just in terms of like the shape of the season and what matters from a contending standpoint. Because, yes, Dan, if they lose in any fashion, they're two games back in the division. I know you got 15 to play, but you're 0-2 and you're two games back of the Dolphins and you're already down one. Then you start to get a little concerned. The Dolphins don't have the defense to do the same game plan that Pittsburgh had, which was not rush anyone, drop everyone into coverage, force Allen to make decisions and make throws. That's not what Miami does. They don't have the players up front, and they blitz like crazy. Hasn't really worked against Josh Allen in the past, and I'm tending to think it won't work this week, but the offensive line issues you brought up has one sort of X factor that I haven't heard many people talk about. Deion Dawkins, their highly paid left tackle, said he thought he was going to die from COVID. He was in the hospital for a long time. If this had happened a year before, it would have been a huge story. And a highly paid NFL athlete who was worried that he might lose his life and was in really tough shape. He hadn't played any meaningful snaps since then. He was run over last week. And he's like a guy they count on to be great. It's very possible that it's just a bad week, you know, and that he just needed to get into game shape. But I'd be a little concerned about that if I'm a Bills fan.
Let's see how it goes.
He lost 30 pounds or something like that while he was in the hospital. It was not a small thing.
And that's not typically their natural body weight. They artificially add weight when you're an offensive lineman.
So we'll see. If the Bills come out of this building, they're flying back to Western New York, and they just put up 17 points, I would wonder if some doubt starts creeping in. All right, what's happening here?
They played well last week.
However. I didn't like what I saw from Tua in week one. I know he made a couple of plays, but man, some of those mistakes he makes, it makes me think that he might be one of those guys that every once in a while. You're just scratching your head once a quarter, once a half about something he did. That's what it would look like in week one. I need to see more from him. The Dolphins need to see more from him. Will Fuller is back, but he also missed practice.
Undisclosed injury.
With an undisclosed injury, so something to keep an eye on.
Or not even injury, undisclosed.
Something's cooking there.
Maybe kidnapped, and then they've found him since.
Patty,
I mean, anything could
be happy about it. Yeah. We don't know. But anyway, I believe in the Bills. I believe they'll be okay, and I believe they get right in Miami. So I am locking up the Buffalo Bills. Are we allowed to say spreads here? I don't even know.
Yeah, we can say them. We
All
can't
right.
say
Bills
like.
Bills are favored by 3.5. I think they're going to, that's a good number, and I think they're going to win. Mm. And the last game we're talking about, by the desert, don't be afraid to look over your shoulder. I don't know. Can I say that?
You could say there's going to be a lot of points. We can say the spread. This was a tough one. I took the Dolphins just to cover. But Dolphins fans, calm down. They got their backs up with Tua. It's the whole thing when you have a young quarterback that's up and down. It's like the Trubisky thing in Chicago. It's Darnold in New York. It's every quarterback. Tua's not at that level. But we can point out facts, which is he looked great when they had quick game last week when he got the ball out quick and the kind of the play call won for him, and he's good at that stuff. And they're going to do that. But when he had to hold the ball, it was a disaster.
You want to talk about pressure?
The couple times he held the ball last week, the Patriots won every down.
If they play poorly and Tua has a bad day, that's going to be a big story heading into week three for Miami. All right, it snakes to me. And what the hell? I'll sweep out the AFC East. I can't risk it. Greg taking Pat's Jets. So I will grab it. And I'll tell you what, I am nervous after watching Patriots. And by the way, Bill, what are we doing? You're the greatest coach of all time.
What now?
What are we doing a TV studio show with Zolak for? What's that about?
I think he's probably obligated to. I don't think he's doing it for his own enjoyment.
I think Bill can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a Patriots production, but I think Dan's right. I mean, Bill's definitely dictating the terms of whatever that involvement is. It's the thing where is it the same thing he does every year? Now Zolak's involved, but he just breaks down like one play a week. He comes in and talks about one play for 5 minutes. He's done
now
it for years.
It's like
he probably the only thing he probably put his foot down on. He like came into the studio or he came up on the monitor and he saw Zolak. He's like, take off those sunglasses.
Well, let me ask
Zolak
you this.
You know that Zolak knows that Belichick doesn't respect him, and that's all Belichick needs.
Who would he rather talk to, a former quarterback, even if it's Zolak, and I don't know Zolak personally, but we've got issues with him on the show, or just some sort of reporter jabroni?
I don't know. Well,
depends on the reporter. I feel like he'd rather talk to Mike Reese and Tom Curran.
All right, let me. This is what my point is. Yeah. My point is not to talk Zolak. It's to talk Belichick studying the Zach Wilson tape, and this is on Twitter. You could find it if you check it out.
Oh, really?
And Belichick going through not just one play, going through an entire game of footage of Zach Wilson, and he was complimentary. And it's interesting seeing Belichick break down tape, and I'm just thinking he's saying all these nice things, but you just know the boy who shall lead them is in grave danger, because the hooded one is planning something dire. So he's on autopilot going through the video, and he's got Zolak, you know, there. So he's just feeding Zolak what he needs. But you know, as he's watching the tape, he's studying Zach Wilson, and he wants to ruin Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson doesn't need more help, people trying to ruin him, because his own offensive line almost got him killed last week. 10 hits, 6 sacks. And now I will say this, as bad as the O-line was last week against the Panthers, and it's not going to get better because Mekhi Becton's out at least 6 weeks with the knee injury, Wilson was responsible for some of those sacks as well. And that's just the issue when you have a first-year quarterback with limited experience who ran a college was a college program that didn't have a true pro offense where you have to make decisions in the same way a pro quarterback does. Things are going to take a while for Wilson to be comfortable in this setup. But from a positive standpoint, Wilson was when he was getting destroyed in that second half, it kind of could have snowballed and he would have had a nothing burger game. Instead, he threw 2 touchdowns. He got drilled late in the game and got up and threw a beautiful touchdown pass to Corey Davis. And I just thought there was a lot of good there. And it's just like, you cannot get this kid hurt, because if they do what they did last week on that line and their protection schemes. And Michael LaFleur is on the spot here, too, to be smart about this, protecting the boy. He won't make it till October. So that's a big thing I'm worried about in this game.
I was a little thrown by how punished he was because I thought in this Mike LaFleur offense that if anything, it's quarterback friendly and you find ways for to keep your quarterback safe. I kind of like that he had to go through so much last week because it taught me a lot about him. I didn't watch this game till last night. And I'll make Justin Herbert comparison because it brought me a fair amount of excitement. And, you know, I'm at the point now, I think there was a Jets-Browns kind of rivalry between Dan and I because they were both in such dark places. But I am rooting for this guy because I find him to be a rugged human who every single time he got lambasted last week, got up, and there are things he does with his arm. And I think Belichick at least honestly complimented him about his live arm and what he can do outside of the pocket. He's exciting to watch. I have never watched a Jets game with a quarterback like this. And so I think no matter what the results are,
You keep him upright. You got to keep him healthy.
You do. And they had to come up with a better plan. But you mentioned this on Twitter, too, because everyone likes Joe Douglas, the Jets GM. First of all, if you pick the right quarterback, everyone's going to love him. But he's had years to get this line together. And they've used draft picks. They've tried to make it work. But it's still not working. And the only thing you worry about, and I think of guys like Tim Couch back in the day, but there's 50 of these people, that if you get too battered, that you start to lose it from the neck up. And does that affect you in year two and beyond? I mean, you just cannot have him too punished.
I tend to believe if you're the guy, you'll be the guy. And Zach Wilson
looks
like the guy.
Yeah,
to me. I think Zach, you know, to put it on a Patriots fan being nervous about it, Zach Wilson has what Bill Belichick can't plan for, though, which is he's just like not afraid and he can make plays on his own. And those are the quarterbacks who have traditionally given Bill Belichick the biggest problems. Cam Newton in his prime, certainly Patrick Mahomes, the guys who's like, what am I going to call for that? And yes, you can confuse the protection scheme. The Panthers did last week. I don't know if the Patriots are as good up front as the Panthers are. I was not impressed by the Patriots defense last week. I thought they were lucky that they only gave up 16 points. They didn't, you know, there was a lot of buzz about them. They didn't win a lot of one-on-one matchups. You would think Belichick, you're right, can cook them up a little bit, but he's got that thing you can't teach. I think it's going to be fascinating though. The offensive line conversation, there was a report that the Patriots were going to take Elijah Vera Tucker. The Jets' first-round pick, which the Jets gave up a third to move up ahead of New England. It's a totally crazy sliding doors moment because they wouldn't have drafted Mac Jones. I have a hard time believing that.
That is crazy.
You know, it's a report. Is that maybe that report's not right because they wouldn't have traded Mac. You wouldn't have drafted Mac Jones, and then everything would be very, very
different. I'm not panicking totally on the offensive line yet, but it is true. I think Joe Douglas has gotten a lot of rope early on here because he took over in a strange situation with Gase getting the GM fired. But now these are all his guys. These are all the guys he brought in, including, like Greg said, trading up to get the guard that he wanted. Mekhi Becton, who's starting to get me nervous about, can that guy stay healthy? There are things that need to start to click there. And I think with Belichick, as we know, he likes to say, okay, who's the guy the quarterback loves and trusts? Okay, for so far, Zach Wilson, it's Corey Davis. So I expect Corey Davis to have some issues in this game. So Elijah Moore, a camp hero, is he going to be able to step up? Jameson Crowder, if he's back, is he able to make some plays? Can the running game get going? You can't give it to the kid and say, do everything. It doesn't work out.
I'll be interested to see how aggressive they let Mac Jones be throwing because it seems pretty clear the biggest weakness on the Jets is their secondary and their cornerbacks. And you would think the recipe here is don't be too conservative. Throw the ball a lot.
Well, I think they can trust Mac Jones based on what they saw.
But he got hit a lot last week, and they did call it pretty conservative for most of the game. So I'd like to see them be aggressive. Yeah. We'll see.
I'm not feeling
as confident. I feel as like the odds makers are. They're pretty heavy favorites, 6-point favorites, and Patriots fans are just thinking like this is an 11, 12-win team. All right, let's see it.
Yeah,
let's see
and it. The Jets-Patriots rivalry is just in a different place now than it was. Brady's gone now. Gase is gone too. Just a whole different vibe. Two things. Mac Jones refusing the first touchdown ball. It's just like,
I know that was going to be on your radar.
It's just it's relentless. Like, just keep the ball.
Hey, he was born to be a Patriot.
It's like, enough. He waves it away. And then the other thing, and I saw it immediately in reports, and this is the carrying of the water up there in New England, the reporters and everything. It's like Damian Harris, brutal fumble there. Cost them the game. I understand. Xavien Howard, by the way, is a all-pro player who just made a great play. And immediately it's like, okay, he's going to be in the doghouse. The other kid that fumbled is going to be in the doghouse. These guys will never get a main role in the offense again. All these things are going to happen. Can we just calm down? Can a guy make a mistake? Can a running back make a mistake in New England and live?
I think he will.
To tell the tale?
Let's see. It's a sliding scale. When you're as good as Damian Harris, who is clearly the best running back on the team and looked awesome, then Bell doesn't sit
you down.
It's
more a coverage thing of the Patriots, I think, than even a Patriots thing. Although, of course, there is something to it. Like, I hope Damian Harris, and not just because he's on my fantasy team, but it doesn't hurt. I hope Damian Harris doesn't get 7 carries on Sunday because he fumbled once in a game.
I'm not worried about that, but historically, some of the backs that have fumbled were never seen again.
Right.
By their families or anyone. So
that was on Wes's radar. Who was the guy? Jonas Gray.
Poor guy.
Who went over 200 yards in his first game and then fumbled.
Well, he was late for a practice.
Wes never forgave. I mean,
changed his life.
Belichick for not letting him play again.
Imagine that. Imagine you go for 200 yards and 4 touchdowns on Sunday Night Football, and then your iPhone battery dies, and you wake up, and it's 9 a.m., and you had Patriots practice at 8. That's what happened.
I'm sure he went to bed early. I'm sure there was nothing else going on there with why he was late to practice.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
Greg, you're up.
Okay, I got my dream draft. I really only wanted 2 games. I got them both. The second one is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Thought you would go there.
Hosting the San Francisco 49ers. I picked the upset on the .com. I took the Eagles to win this game because I think they're going to be a tough matchup for teams right now. I still think the 49ers are just a better team and they're going to have a great season. But I think this is a tough spot because, like Baltimore a few years ago, and like some of these teams that run college-type offenses, I don't know how easy they're going to be to prepare for this Eagles team before they put some tape on the board. And I think they're going to be able to throw new wrinkles in every week. I loved what Sirianni showed last week. They also were pretty creative defensively, but that's more just a system you see elsewhere. They're running a college type of running game, and the Lions had some success running up the middle against San Francisco. I think that might be the weak part of their defense if you can, and I think they can shorten games, and I think it's early in the season. I love the Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni handshake. They got a special handshake. Did you see that on the sidelines? It's like they're vibing. It's good vibes.
That's good.
You know, it teaches me a lesson because, like, Nick Sirianni was a joke to us for much of the offseason because he is not necessarily like CEO front-facing speech giver man.
Although I swear he's gained 10 pounds of muscle since that.
Well, also, like, those speeches have gone huge. Away. But don't you I feel like we are going to think completely different about Nick Sirianni by the end of the season. And we already do. I mean, he looks like a good hire right
see
now.
See what happens this week.
Right. I don't
it
know.
Was one they, week. I'm getting overly carried away because I love the Eagles, but I do think it's like a fun offense.
They created a perfect offense for Jalen Hurts. And it's like he sort of, Sirianni said, like my whole thing was, and there are coaches that are not like this, even still in 2021. He's like, I want to go in and build it around the players that we have. And like, I loved what I saw from Devonta Smith last week. I mean, they needed one of these wide receivers to step up. Jalen Reagor had a good game for once. I mean, that wasn't the case last year. And Next Gen Stats points out that Jalen Hurts, his average pass traveled 3.7 yards past the line of scrimmage, shortest of any starter in the league. That's yards after the catch. That's putting him into a scenario where he can complete passes. He was 27 for 35, and he absolutely undoes defensive coordinators on the ground.
Here's the thing with that. It's like, that's good, but good defensive coaches and better defenses are going to clamp down on that if that's what you're offense
is. He has a deep ball, too, though.
And guess what? The Falcons? Listen, we don't want to make too much of anything in week one, but they could be 2-15 the way they looked in that game. So they're one of the teams, the Eagles, that they open my mind more than any other team. Like, okay, maybe, yeah, okay, I see this now. But I also, you have to factor in that the Falcons were a joke in week one. So they didn't show up. So it's like, what do I
That's
take
what good
out
teams
of that
do,
game?
Though. You blow out.
That's why I'm excited to see how they look against the team that's prepared and has more talent level than the Falcons.
One reason the Eagles are not a fluke, and it's like, you know, we know this. We knew this coming into the year to some degree.
He's all in.
Offensive line, right. Defensive line, strengths. Yes. That's how you go win 10 games, even if you're lesser
if
in other
if
areas.
They stay healthy. So they hooked up Henry's boy, Jordan Mailata, hadn't mentioned it, to a massive extension before the season. Some people thought was like, oh, this is too early. Like, why are you paying this guy who hasn't totally proven it yet? And I thought it was really smart because they got a little bit of a discount on a guy they've seen all offseason continue to develop, and they believe he can be a top five left tackle. And the way he played last week, he already was. And they just have those running plays where Lane Johnson and Kelsey and Mailata are destroying opponents that just kind of get you out of your seat.
If this is who Jalen Hurts is on a week-to-week basis, they'll win 10 or 11 games.
Well, and he's on an audition, so good first opening night.
He can hit guys. When you do protect for him, he can hit open guys, which sounds like not an obvious, that's sort of like the baseline of whether you're a starting quarterback, like at least to be like an Andy Dalton.
All right, Mark, you're up.
All right, I'm going to go the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, one thing. Sorry to interrupt you. Ricky, I know you wanted to jump in.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the 49ers are still figuring their stuff out. I mean, Trey Lance threw the first touchdown for the 49ers last week, and Goff threw a pick six. So, like, that score, I don't necessarily think they have it. And as much as I trust Shanahan, there's so many injuries, too, that they're dealing with. And I'm going to go ahead and side with Greg here, but I'm going to lock up the Eagles.
Wow. That's bold. Lock underdog.
All right. I like it, Ricky. Now, are you okay with that? Does that make up for the Rams lock?
I mean, the Rams one doesn't count. She volunteered to take a loss. I'm willing to consider. No, we said she knew. You got to know the rules, too. That was like an eight.
We're going back down this avenue again?
Right.
Well,
I don't know
maybe
what's
Casey's
going on
been
here.
Lost for quitting.
Mark, you put it well. It's dense. What's
it's a dense and thorny and confusing, and it's trailing away from us.
All right. Go ahead, Mark.
As mentioned, I'm going to go Minnesota Vikings, Arizona Cardinals, and it is not because of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Let's start
they were
right
kind
there.
Of an annoying team to watch in week one.
Yeah, I saw 12 penalties. I mean, a penalty-ridden, mistake-prone team. And, you know, Mike Zimmer, obviously, just more annoyed than ever. Kirk Cousins threw for 351 yards in that game.
You know, you and Zimmer are kind of kissing cousins in a lot of ways. Like, I see, if I had to say, who's the NFL coach who I most connect with Mark, it's Zimmer.
Really?
Just like always kind of like ready to like...
It checks out in
a lot of things that are on your radar.
It's kind of the coach I'm most worried about just just having too much stress in his life.
I'll process that. I'm not sure that the comparison...
But a guy that's respected and everyone likes him.
Oh,
but like,
okay,
it's
now
just
we go down
lot
the respected
of,
road. Okay.
It's a lot cooking. A lot of cooking behind the eyes.
Well, I'm not sure what I feel about Cliff Kingsbury yet, but I do think that last week... if anything, took some heat off a coach that, you know, I think we put on the hot seat in one of our podcasts not too far back.
He had one of the hottest butts.
One of the hottest butts. Yeah. And one thing about the Cardinals,
I don't
mean
physically.
No. Well, I don't know. He
works out, but that's not what we mean.
No major issues there. Kyler Murray, and we talked about offensive lines a minute ago. He went out of his way to say that Rodney Hudson, their center, has made an absolute ton, a world of difference.
Why did the Raiders get rid of this guy? I don't understand. Good job by the Cardinals, because there are 100 teams. Well, there's only 32 teams, but there are a bunch of teams that could have used Rodney Hudson. And he went to the Cardinals on a trade that wasn't too rough in terms of what they had to give up to get him.
Yeah, and we questioned their offseason, the A.J. Green and J.J. Watt beyond the prime potentially. But Hudson has been a home run, and I think that's, for me, is a reason to believe that what happened last week, there's no fluky nature to what happened last week for the Cardinals for me. Yes, someone, Chandler Jones getting 5 sacks won't happen again
that's
for 4,000 generations, but it does tell you that they're able to generate pressure, that their defense looks so much better than I thought it would a week ago. And Kyler Murray is an MVP candidate. And I had kind of fallen out of belief in Kyler Murray a little bit, or I just started to question.
Played hurt down the stretch.
It was hurt down the stretch, but also, you know, our friend Jason Zumwalt, I think he makes a good point that his bickering about the Cardinals over the offseason was tied to some degree about the fact that so much of the team are guys who are like 5'9 and 5'10 and shorter. But when you've got the speed and when you can produce, what are we doing here with the music?
I don't know.
It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable. I can't wait to watch the Cardinals, in live as it's happening. This is also at 4:05.
Zumwalt's not into team short. I mean, I take offense to that.
I don't know where he's at today. I think his move
is
probably...
really that many short guys other than Rondale Moore and Kyle?
I know, but Greg, he's not taking a shot at you being 5'6.2. He's talking about a football
team. He's putting a ceiling on the athletic potential of short people. Which has been done forever.
I don't think you were included in the critique, but I'll check back with him on that. In fact, I'm not even sure what the critique is on his part. I will note this game is at 4:05, which is the way I like to do things.
Mm-hmm. Because the first games go so long now.
Well, no, the first game's gone forever, but you want to get that 4:00 versus 4:25 start.
It depends.
If
your game's running late, you're banged in a big spot.
Suddenly I'm tracking 3 games.
And bad job by you guys, I got to say.
What do you mean?
That Dalvin Cook, I can't believe that changed that game. And I'm not saying the Vikings even deserved to win that game, because the Bengals were...
Even Dalvin Cook didn't complain. He said it was a bang-bang play. That,
and Dalvin Cook's got to hold on to the ball. But I am just surprised, borderline shocked, that was ruled a fumble. He was on his butt, and the ball was still in his hands. And then they went and they reviewed it. And I know you got to stick with the call on the field, but if you see his buttocks... But Greg, his buttocks is on the turf.
It was like super slow motion, and you didn't have the great angle.
That's just a huge call to make in that spot. I guess hold on to the ball, Dalvin Cook. I see that side of it, too.
I just mean, yeah. I'm not into getting mad at, replays anymore, unless it's, incredibly
that's
obvious.
Healthy.
Like, we're it's like if you have to slow it down, I don't know. It's
right.
Never as obvious as people make it. I don't think the Vikings were quite as bad as
they were.
I just find them,
Kirk Cousins played well, but their offensive line was a problem. That's the reason I picked the Cardinals. I like them to cover 3.5 points is their defense. Vance Joseph. I think people got to start giving Vance Joseph a little love. I love the way that Buda Baker and these guys we don't even know about, Byron Murphy and Robert Alford, who hasn't played in 7 years, were just flying away. They're around. There was some sort of energy there that was special.
We actually interviewed Robert Alford one evening.
I don't recall that.
A number of years ago.
Playoff
game. Mark.
All right, I'm going to go Cleveland-Houston. I don't think it's a premier matchup, but I would say this. I want to just see, after what the Texans did last week, the nervous Browns fan in me could kind of go to the place like, is this trap game potential? I think Cleveland, you have to look at what the Browns did against Kansas City. They had the most yards in the league last week. They had 4 touchdown drives of 75 yards or more. They had 8 new starters on defense and still hung around for the most part. I mean, they didn't stop Kansas City on any level, but you look at that first half, it was mistakes that undid them. And here's the other thing. They held the Chiefs running backs to 49 yards. Houston wants to run the ball with 4 different running backs. They run it all day long and keep a safe environment for Tyrod Taylor. There's no excuse for Cleveland not to win this game. And also the one thing about the Browns. Now, I want to see where Jedrick Wills is, because Chris Hubbard came in and did not play well at left tackle. And if you want to go back two seasons ago to 2019. That's when chaos started for Baker Mayfield when those tackle spots.
He might be out too. Hubbard might not play.
Well, I mean, it just gets worse and worse. So it's that's a concern.
What are we at with Jedrick Wills? That's a foot thing? Was that what it was?
I have no internet, so I am unable to give you an answer to that. You could research that.
We're getting up to speed here technologically.
He's not expected to play this week.
It's an ankle.
They're not going to announce it. But it feels like he's week to week. It feels
not practicing.
I mean, if anything, it was like a sigh of relief that it wasn't a season ender. Right. That's what it looked like in the game. Two new faces for Cleveland. Malik McDowell along the defensive line was a beast last week, and if he continues that apace, they may have a top seven defensive line, and that would be scary to think about. Secondly, I think we all saw Anthony Schwartz. His speed, they used him right away. He had 60 yards in the first quarter. They used him on a 17-yard sweep. I think if you're Kevin Stefanski, you love that you have this new aspect. We don't have Odell Beckham in this game. That's the other big news.
I love Schwartz.
I think they're being safe with Odell. I know it's like, let's raise panic signals, but...
Not panic signals, but...
I think they're just being very cautious because, honestly...
Is
he a Jenga piece?
It's not going well.
I mean, a year ago, he was the final piece for this team, we were told. But I'm saying a week ago, he's warming up on the field before week one, thinking about whether I'm playing or not. And then 3 days later, on Wednesday, he's ruled out. And it's just like,
Well, it's not going well. I mean, the timeline of his recovery compared to plenty other ACL recoveries, it's clear that it's not going well. But it's hard to know much more than that. And maybe when he does return, he'll be fine. Schwartz... you know, I love celebrating a Schwartz here on a Jewish holiday, Yom Kippur. You know, they're making us work on that. I think that's unfair.
That's something to look at.
Today's Yom Kippur?
Look into
it
that.
It is.
Good for you.
Kleinman and... Oh, I don't actually observe, so I'm...
Greg's had to come into the office for an hour and 40 minutes, and he's lodging a complaint.
I sort of have a tug in my cheek. I've never...
Raverman?
Actually, you're right, though, Mick.
Who's celebrating?
Kleinman and Schneider are big... observers.
You just add a man to the end of Graver's
high holidays.
Graverman.
The grave digger.
McDowell is turning from one of the best stories of training camp. Hey, here's this guy whose career was over because of the ATV accident and he made a team years later, to like one of the best pickups in the entire NFL, that they basically got this total difference maker who looks like Shaquille O'Neal out there.
Right. Two words.
He's the largest defensive lineman I've ever seen, Malik McDowell.
That's what Andrew Berry does.
We undersold Tyrod. Not undersold him, but like I didn't make a big enough deal because I didn't have a chance to really zoom in on that game last week. If they get this Tyrod all season, they're going to be feisty.
They'll be okay.
I mean, that game was outrageous. He was one of the five or six best quarterbacks in the league. But people do forget, from 2015 to 2017, I went and checked the old QB index. I was just curious. Tyrod's end-of-year ratings were 15, 17, 17. He was a solid quarterback. Maybe he's only 32 years old. He could be again.
I think it would be truly enjoyable to see the Texans kind of go a weird 9-8 and tell everyone, stick
Let's
it up your
who
butt.
They beat on Sunday.
Right.
I
feel better. I've thought about that, Mark, because they'd be kind of a
Thank
fun
you for
team
agreeing, Mark.
To get behind. But they're also deactivating Deshaun Watson every week and are totally two-faced with the media about that. And to me, have covered themselves in inglorious fashion at a team level of how they've handled it. So it makes me hard to wrap my mind around.
It's convoluted. I'm just saying, for the Tyrod Taylors, the Mark Ingrams, the Philip Lindsays of the world, the people that have nothing to do with that, like, they have been told all offseason, you are floating trash.
How about your boy Mark? Not Mark with the C.
Ingram.
He looked pretty good. I thought his career was kind of over.
Let's check out this Browns schedule.
Dan's counting out the Texans. Logically.
Maybe three wins.
See, this is where if I had the internet.
Yeah, only
I would
Dan
go
has
Erica.
Internet.
This hey, get that Mark suspicious. Ingram. Ingram drop ready.
We got, the KC narrow loss. You
C.
got the Texans. Look at this, Mark. You got the Browns. I mean, the Bears at home next week and then off to Minnesota. So pick up a dub here, get some momentum going. Let's move on. Greg.
Oh, no. This is where...
you prepped?
Not as prepared as I could be, but I'll just take a random game. Let's go Tampa Bay, Atlanta. That's early, right?
That is a late game.
Oh, Greg. He
got back.
Oh, you set yourself up with a killer afternoon.
You're already up at the podium. No, can't take it back.
We can totally take it back.
Absolutely.
I am taking it back.
Rules. Look, yeah, rule. What's a game if it doesn't have rules?
Have we ever said that as a rule?
What is the rules if a rule isn't a rule?
All right, let's do, we'll do Bucks Falcons at this point. What a disaster for the Falcons to have to play this Bucks team.
Yeah,
I don't mean last week because that was a disaster. But what about the Dean Pease revenge game?
Oh, here?
Former Patriots,
it's like 100 years old,
defensive coordinator stated. Against his old buddy Tom Brady. There's just nothing,
old man Pease,
they could possibly do to slow down this Buccaneers offense. It's just nothing.
And they got 10 days to plan for this team. The Bucs did.
Rob Gronkowski sure was winning. Outside the numbers against cornerbacks and safeties, he was moving really well. If he played like that throughout the season, that is a different element to their offense. Gio Bernard, your boy, made a diving catch on their game-winning drive on, I think it was third down, that was better than any route or any catch that the Buccaneers had from a running back all year. And I when I saw that play again, I was like, oh, that's going to register with Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want old playoff Lenny and Ronald Jones out here. I want my boy Gio when it matters.
Our old boy playoff Lenny.
I would say this, like The Athletic noted that the Falcons were the only team that did not produce a single gain of 20 plus yards last week in 2021, not 1991. And they were one of two offenses that didn't score a touchdown. If you want a bright spot, because I covered that game last week.
Yes.
And after the first quarter, it looked like it was going to be competitive and fiery from wire to wire. And then the Falcons fell off a cliff. But their first two drives, they drove down to Philly's 9 and 3 yard line. They were both field goals. But if you watch those first two drives, that's what I think Arthur Smith wants to do. Matt Ryan looks comfortable.
They shouldn't be that bad offensively. But
I mean, they just have
defense.
To. They
it's
got to
be
do
better,
that.
Right?
It cannot be that bad again. But we keep talking about offensive lines. Theirs was a hot mess last week, and you don't trust the defense.
I'm going to be super annoyed, by the way, if we went through the entire draft process being told that Kyle Pitts is a legitimate god, and then he does what every rookie tight end does, which is go 4 for 32.
It was one week.
It's on my radar. Because you already pulled this routine with me with O.J. Howard a couple of years ago, and this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. Do not hit me with a bunch of 4 for 32s for Kyle Pitts. And my other thought with Gronk is I hope he stays healthy. I also know he's older. The body gets beat up as the season goes along. We might not see that version
like
of Gronk
that
again.
Even at any point last year or the year before.
I'm just saying, I hope he is able to stay healthy. He doesn't get dinged up and becomes lumbering Gronk again, because it was pretty cool to see him carving up that secondary. And also, like, man, if Antonio Brown is going to be Antonio Brown again, and if Gronk is going to be even close to that with Godwin, and they didn't even need Mike Evans in week one.
By the way, Tom Brady is literally having another peak of his career. He is making more big-time throws than he did, you know, according to PFF, at any point in his career. And it doesn't surprise me. It kind of goes back to people who thought his arm was going away. Like, his arm strength never went away. And him in this offense, he's taking more risk, and he'll probably have more negative plays. But he is making more big-time throws than he ever has. You can't really look at his last 8 or 9 games and say he's anything but the best quarterback or maybe the second-best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, I think also it's no minor
44.
Factor that he's in an offense he feels super comfortable in now, where a year ago, they were 7-5 at one point. There were growing pains.
All right, let's keep moving here. Last pick of the draft. I have to grab a late game, so I will take Tennessee at Seattle. Not bad. Tennessee, what do you make of that game? That was, you know, when you fire up the old Game Pass and you watch these games, and you knew it was going to be bad, but then you watch, it's like, oh, that was even worse than I thought it was going to be. Just their inability to get anything going. The fact that midway through the third quarter, Derrick Henry had 10 carries for 9 yards, and they couldn't get a first down until it was almost halftime. The fact that it was in their building, I mean, the A-bomb was dropped in the middle of Nashville. All right, now you got to spin forward. You got to get away from all that. And you get a Seattle defense, which we're still learning what they're going to be. Is this going to be a capable unit? They certainly look that way against the Colts, but we know the Colts are a work in progress, but certainly a good start. It's in Seattle, so I think this is a tough spot for the Titans. But I also think even though Arthur Smith isn't there anymore, and I know the jury's kind of out in this room on Mike Vrabel, and it's not just this room, I got a feeling that that's one of those type of games that is probably, from a coach standpoint, easier to rally the troops around. Like, everyone thinks you suck now, and now you're going to go to Seattle, and everyone's going to pick the Seahawks, and they have too many good players on that team and too much of a track record of success, I think, for them to go and lay a second egg. I really like the Titans to go up there and win. I'm going to pick the Titans to win this game.
I like the Titans to cover those 5.5 points. I don't know. Are we allowed to say that or not? Who really knows? But
no.
you can look at it. Okay. I like the Titans to go out and keep it closer than it's expected. It's a 5.5 point spread. I think that's too big. I'm not used to Seahawks playing like these boring games. They're supposed to play the not normal games, these wild endings. That's Pete Carroll's MO. They do look a little more modern, though, on offense. They're doing tons of play action, which seems to fit Russell Wilson. All the motions, like, Seahawks Twitter will have nothing to complain about if this Shane Waldron offense continues to look like this.
Gravedigger. So obviously I'm confident that they're bouncing back. Am I crazy, or are you worried about this game?
I am a little worried about this game, but Mike Vrabel is actually 7-0 coming off a double-digit point loss as the head coach.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Lock it up.
Well, I don't want to go that far. But
the Wesseling brothers have locked up this game.
That's factual.
They've locked up the Seahawks. They're participating each week.
I will get back to that in a second because we got something special there. But bury the ball game for the Titans. So you feel like they're going to be able to move on from this?
I hope so.
See, you don't sound confident. You're worried. That game, you got spooked.
How could you be confident?
The Seahawks Gravedigger spooked.
I mean, they're in Seattle. That's one of the toughest, even in a good scenario.
Hit me, Ricky.
The Titans pass rush had me worried.
All right. And yes, the Wesseling brothers, well, I won't say it was unanimous, but the Wesseling brothers have locked up the Seahawks in this game. And let's hear from one of them, Phil.
Hi, guys. And Ricky. Thanks for including the Wesseling brothers in the locks this year. I know Chris will be thrilled. Let's be clear about one thing first. Last week's lock was Nick's lock and not the brothers' lock. I do appreciate him setting this up, though. This week we went with the Seahawks over the Titans. The reason for this is twofold. First, one of my brothers drank way too much orange Kool-Aid over the weekend and was trying to lock the Bengals on the road against the Bears. I don't think this is a good idea at this point.
A lock?
And Chris would have none of it. Also, Justin Fields plays for the Bears. I like the way the Seahawks looked in week one.
Fields in Ohio State.
And wasn't too impressed with the Titans. So, LOCKETT, lock it up, baby. One last thing I'd like to say is hi to Keisha and Link. We miss you and can't wait to see you.
Bill's a sweetheart.
Well, I love
and new tradition of the show. We're going to get the Wesseling brothers involved with those locks. There's heat there. In fact, you know, I don't know if it was Nick or Phil sent me the thread of them going back and forth. And when the idea that the Bengals could be locked up, it was stated that they thought that the tree that was planted at the farm could go up in flames. That would be, it'd be so ridiculous to do that. There'd be so much anger from the old man and Wes together forever at the farm that the tree would go in flames. So,
well, I love this whole scenario. Nick is going to come on. When Nick comes on next, not only is he going to be furious that Phil's voice has been on the show twice now without him getting on, he's going to mock Phil's performance on the show. I am here for it all.
Well, let's be real, though. Yeah. I mean, it's a very nice story that they're doing this, but they've got to deliver a win here.
Although if they you wanted to be consistent with Wes, they would struggle in the lock.
Yeah, well, it was never his forte. No. All right. Thank you, Wesseling brothers. And by the way, yeah, Nick didn't want to provide the voice this week because he doesn't stand by the lock. It's a lot of fun.
Oh my God. What's going
on behind the scenes
in-house
there.
In-house issues.
Brothers will be brothers. All right, let's now let's hit up the primetime games, and then we're going to speed round the rest of the games this week because we got to get out of here. But let's start with Sunday Night Football. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Baltimore Ravens. Interesting game here. The Ravens, tough situation. Not only do you find a way to lose that game, Mark, in Vegas on Monday night, and it was, you know, a weird game as we talked about on our last podcast. Then you get on the plane and you're flying back to Baltimore. Bullet More Murderland, and you are saying to yourself, now we got to get the Chiefs in primetime. Patrick Mahomes, we're going to beat Patrick Mahomes in primetime. They are in a very tough spot right now.
I wonder if the Ravens, who probably just typically ignore the Cleveland Browns, can learn from something that the Browns did last week, which was their immense aggressiveness, going for it over and over on fourth down. From the 15, they went for it on fourth and 13 and converted. They went for it on fourth and one from the 5 on the next drive. And that is how you built a lead. The Ravens team, and I understand, you know, all the injuries that are banged up that I watched on Monday night. I just like when you, the Chiefs, the scenario with the Chiefs is they're essentially a video game. And unless you can stop Travis Kelce, we saw what happened last week. You know, they're going to score 30 something points. Do we trust this Ravens offense, the way they're built right now, to A, build a lead where you put it, the Ravens are a much better team if they can get out in front of Kansas City and do what they want to do. I know they don't have all their backs, but they're going to use 4 different running backs and try to control the ball and use Lamar. Or if they get stuck from behind, do you trust them on any level air-wise to hang around or come back in a game? I mean, I think they are an aggressive coaching staff, but I just think that the Kansas City Chiefs offer so many problems that there's really only 2 or 3 teams offensively in the league that can even come in with a chance to touch you.
Well, and the hits keep coming. I mean, there's a report on CBS that Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, is unlikely to play this week and might be out multiple weeks. Which isn't totally shocking because he really struggled in that game. But okay, there goes your left tackle. Oh, by the way, you know, one of your slot corners who was forced into action, what's his name? Westby? I don't even know these guys. They're new guys. He played 33 snaps last week. He had a pectoral injury. He's going to be out for this game. The Chiefs are the easy pick. You know, they're 3.5 points in this game, and this is the game that most of America agrees on more than anyone, which is always a concern. And so you're thinking, okay, I think the Ravens, at least they're going to be proud. They're going to show up. It kind of reminds me of late last season when everything looked like it was lost and they were so injured, was when the Ravens played their best, but it wouldn't make sense for them to be that competitive. They played 86 plays on defense last week before playing Kansas City on a short week.
And that's the only way I see this not going going against the Chiefs, if it's one of those things where, like, sports can't actually figure these things out. Even though it makes all the sense in the world that the Chiefs are catching the Ravens at the perfect time, maybe, you know, in their building, they put up a good fight. And I think they can. I'm just sticking with the idea that Mahomes is just going to shred everyone every week.
Well, he's also owned the Ravens, and Lamar Jackson has his worst numbers passing-wise against the Chiefs of almost any team. So Spagnuolo's kind of owned the Ravens. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs get back Frank Clark and Honey Badger. Their two best defensive players are expected to be back on the field. They missed week one.
Mahomes is 8-0 against the AFC North with a 26-3 touchdown to interception ratio. Last week, 273 of his 337 yards went to Kelce and Hill. Cleveland spent 5 months trying to figure out a way to stop Kelce and Hill and had no way to do it.
Can't.
How with Baltimore?
You can't. And we talked about the crazy numbers that Mahomes is career-wise in September. I mean, it's just, we've never seen anything like it. So it's just, this team is always gets out of the gates super fast, and the Ravens just have their back up against the wall. I think the Ravens will be okay, and they'll find their footing, but they might end up in a situation, and it's still very early, and there's an extra game this year, but are they going to have to go on a run later in the year because they put themselves in a hole? Because I think 0-2 is where
what they did last
here.
Year.
All right, Monday Night Football, Detroit Lions at Green Bay Packers, not a great game. Kind of a bummer Monday night.
Put this in the speed round.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be quick on it because... I really do. I mean, listen, you want to talk about bad timing. The Lions, we could pat them on the back and give them a lollipop for getting back in that game against the Niners. And we know there are all sorts of things behind that with Jason Verrett going out for San Francisco, which I don't know if we really touched on earlier, but that's a big deal for them. And then Detroit just got hot and garbage time. Now you got Green Bay coming off. They were humiliated in week one. Aaron Rodgers was humiliated in week one in prime time at Lambeau. They can't even put this game in Ford Field. I hate when they do that in primetime games. I know it's a better vibe at Lambeau for a primetime production, but at least give the other team a chance. This is a sacrifice.
Well, and also they lost Jeff Okuda. And I mean, Jeff Okuda struggled last year as a rookie. It's not that he was a star cornerback, that but sucks. They have so very little behind him. They signed Daryl Worley, a veteran. But, I mean, you just look at if Aaron Rodgers is going to get right, if last week was an aberration and something of a ghost affair, that maybe, you know, you couldn't find a better matchup in the league secondary-wise than this situation. I thought the Lions, though, last week, if anything, were not boring for the first time in my lifetime. They were frisky down the stretch. Jared Goff showed a little bit after a pretty ugly stretch. I mean, the one thing about Goff, his interception totally unspooled that team early on, and he's going to do that again. I don't like the matchup at all. If you take TJ Hockenson out, who was phenomenal, and I think he's going to have a huge year because he's sort of like the center of their offense outside of their run game.
Well, their hope is that this Packers defense stinks.
Or the Packers stink, or the Packers have some bad energy around.
I don't think there's any chance the Packers offense is going to stink. I think they're going to be fine. And especially in this matchup, for the reasons you just pointed about, how open were those 49ers receivers? There was no one within 15 yards of those guys. It's just, they do not have a cornerback room. So I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers long-term. I'm definitely not worried about this week. But the Packers had a little bit of early season Cowboys defense vibes last year. It was just like, hey, do you got them? Do I got them?
Yeah.
And it's just like wide open guys running through prairie lands because they're trying to get a little too complicated in their defensive. That would be the hope, because there was a little bit of professionalism and aggressiveness in the Lions offense. I'll give that. Like, he's going for fourth downs. They looked like an offense. They didn't look like terrible, that maybe they could put up points.
All right. Four more games. Let's 8 o'clock delight this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Disrespectful.
Cincinnati Bengals at Chicago Bears. Mark, give me something you're looking for in this game.
I'm looking for, essentially, you caught me completely off guard. I was doing something else entirely. I'm looking for Justin Fields to play. I want to see it. This whole scenario to me is tiresome, and
I'm looking for that, and I'm looking for to see if Cincinnati is fun. They might be a little bit fun.
Their offense very aggressive
completely
down
changed last week. Play action, getting rid of the ball quickly, totally different than a year ago. If anything, I think it was a little more boring, like run heavy, but it was.
They
it
can
was
run the ball again. They couldn't last year.
Let's see if Joe Mixon can stay healthy, but so far, so good. And I every year, week two, when I go on NFL Now with Andrew Siciliano, I have a standard, hey, Bengals fun now? Did it again on Tuesday. Hopefully it sticks. Moving on, the Los Angeles Rams at Indianapolis Colts. This is a good game. Look, Mark just pumped his fist.
I'll
give him another shot. Take two.
Here we are in the Rams stadium / office buildings, and I have one goal. I determined to
become
friends.
By the way, this
is
not the Rams office building, but...
Well, I am determined to become friends with Matthew Stafford on some level. I know that he's not here all the time. The wife of Les Snead,
never over here.
Kara Henderson Snead, actually came at me on Twitter and said, you absolutely will not become friends with Matthew Stafford because you've not even picked our team to win the division. So this is a peace offering.
And she doesn't even know the extent of your hatred for
this. Well, I don't need you to verbalize that because this is a new day. I am part of this building now.
It was classic Mark, though. She came at him and he immediately
like
said, I've learned. He's like, I've learned and I've changed.
No, Greg, terrible reporting. Terrible reporting. Terrible reporting.
Pick.
Go read the entire thread. I did not back down. And I'm telling you something. I'm locking up the Rams right here in our first week.
That's a nice way to start. I like that. And you know what? I see it. Indy's got a lot of stuff to work on. I did not like what I saw from the Colts. And I don't think they're dead in the water. But I think they got work to do on both sides of the ball. And the Rams, man, they look good.
The Colts are like the 2020 Rams. They've got like a quarterback that can't really do the entire offense. And it's condensed and not very exciting.
Boring.
The Las Vegas Raiders at Pittsburgh Steelers. Good for Shookie. He's got some good games here. Greg, what do you think about this? Either of these teams. Give me
something. I should have drafted this game.
Same.
Is what I think.
Same.
I think Melvin Ingram is going to make and has made already such a difference. Their pass rush in Pittsburgh is somehow better this year, I think, with him. Highsmith and Watt is probably the best trio in the entire league. And that could be a problem. The Raiders lost another offensive lineman good for the entire year, torn ACL.
Brutal. Finally, Denver at Jacksonville.
I wanted to lock this game up, but I thought you guys might give me some grief.
Yeah, that's
it.
It's a little
early, but to just assume the Broncos are a juggernaut, even though I guess you guys believe me.
That other side, though. No, this is about that other side.
I didn't do it in the end. Vic Fangio runs a very similar defense, but better.
First one in the new studio.
Than Lovie Smith. Does in Houston, where they can just back up and mix coverages. Trevor Lawrence The one I do want to say one thing was just like every throw he made was either amazing or terrible. But there were a lot of amazing throws.
This might be a Peyton Manning 98.
Right, which maybe shouldn't get lost in the mix.
He was only hit or sacked one time last week. It's going to be a different story here. And Fangio, last week, if I remember correctly, went for it on fourth down three times. So it's a little bit more aggressive.
He went for a fourth and seven, like on the first drive of the game. That's how you show Teddy Two Gloves you believe in him. That's how you do it.
What a nice setup for Teddy Two Gloves, by the way.
That's what I was talking about.
You got
about.
Giants, you know, who are poop potentially. And then you got this team, the Jaguars, which might be the worst team in football. We'll see.
You did lose your football. Number one receiver in Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton doesn't look quite all the way back. You also lost a starting corner in
But that's
Ronald
a nice
Darby.
Start. And I did look. I looked at their schedule. It tightens up considerably, as it should, in the weeks ahead. But get off to a 2-0 start.
I'm loving this.
Wild card team.
Team.
Nice setup.
Of T-H-A-L. We need like a song. You know?
You need to workshop
that's the
that.
Team.
I think you've got the song. That's, like that was a finished product right there.
Anybody, you know, those speed round teams, don't get upset. It's just a product of, so we can't stay here all day. And there will be buys. And everyone's going to get their proper conversation points come Sunday night, the flagship program, when we recap each and every one of these games. No speed rounds there.
We also might not go 20 minutes off the top, you know, talking about our anxieties of being in the office.
I mean, we've done about,
day.
This has been about an hour and 40 minutes of work today. That's as much work as I need to do on any day.
That's true. And how do you feel, Mark, now that we've been here for, you know, a couple hours and it already feels like we're settling in? How do you feel?
It's growing on me. I have one issue, though. My front left tire is essentially flat.
What do you mean?
It's in the garage, but my front left tire is sort of, it looks dangerously, a light came on and it is empty, so.
So did you have to Uber here?
No, I'll just be staying here until tomorrow's show, our network show.
Tomorrow's show, the Around the NFL broadcast, where we break down every team. We give the true Around the NFL moniker. We're really true to it because we hit all 32 teams. So that's another way. If you didn't like, I didn't get, my team got overlooked in the preview episode. I don't want to be here anymore. Then check out the Around the NFL broadcast because you get
be around
2.5 minutes on every single
every team.
Team
gets equal time. It was fun that first week. I like being in the studio again. It does make
this was fun.
Better.
Thank you again to everyone behind the glass for all the work. Erica, as our leader, there's Stapleton, the Giants fan. She's waving her arm. Everybody's excited to really be back to work together. And we will be back with you, yes, Friday, Sunday. And the wheel, it's turning. It's spinning, Mark. Here we go, baby. Dan Hans is signing off for Quiet Storm. The old boss, Ricky Hollywood, behind the glass. Until Sunday night. Heed the call!
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.